for the power that you have released through your word that is able to break the code of the natural into the realm of the supernatural. I bless you, O God, for what you are about to do and what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. I want to share something with you that is so wonderful for me, because the Lord just opened my eyes and I just saw it. This morning when I woke up, I was getting ready to prepare, and there were a series of messages the Lord has given to me to minister, but immediately I tackled some of them. One, it wasn't there, but this is the one God wants you to hear. Amen. And I believe your life will never be the same. Go to Matthew chapter 26. It's a long reading. Matthew chapter 26, verse 7 to 14. There are so many reports in terms of the fact that there were several ointments that were anointed on the feet. You remember the story about the woman who anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped it with her tears and with her ear, her hair. It's not that one I'm talking about. I'm talking about this particular one. The Bible said that a woman came to him having an alabaster box, flasks of very costly wood, fragrance, oil. Say oil. Oil. Your aim, oil is two ways. Say oil. Oil. And she poured it upon his head as he sat at the table. But, come on, say but. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of this, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done what? A good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my head, on my body, she did it for my burial. As surely I say unto you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Amen. I want you to go use the King James. Don't use the New King James. Use the King James. And give me the verse number 10. Use the King James. You know the previous one, when the people were, the Bible said that they said this ointment should have been sold. But the Bible said in the King James, I like the King James, it said when Jesus understood it. When Jesus what? Understood it. In my dialect, there was a woman who was being interviewed a few months ago on the telly, one of the news stations, and she wanted to speak. You know, it was at the marketplace, and you know, this marketplace, some of them are illiterate; they can't speak English properly. And one of them was brought forward to say what they wanted to say. So, unfortunately, the spokesperson they chose didn't understand much English, and she literally decided to translate our local language into English. And it said, understanding was not come quickly. In our dialect, it means that when we say understanding, it means intiasia. Quickly means intem. So she wanted to say, we didn't gain understanding. But she translated it that understanding was not come quickly. So she translated it in a local language. Over here, Jesus, the Bible said, when Jesus understood it, when they were questioning, when they were talking, the Bible said Jesus did what? When Jesus understood it. So if Jesus had not understood it, he would have confessed the same way they confessed. But when he understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought what? A good work upon me. Amen. Look at the face of your neighbor and say, neighbor is never a waste. Come on, say, neighbor is never a waste. Praise the Lord. I want to share something with you that I want you to take seriously, because I believe that we have come to the point in the Christian faith where we have so much, we hear so much being spoken about wastage. The Bible said there came a woman unto Jesus, and this woman poured the oil upon the head. The head represents the honor upon God, upon Jesus. And anytime you try to lift up the horns, the Bible said, thou anointed my head with oil. And because of that, my cup will run over. And because my head have been anointed, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So the head represents the source of your greatness. And anytime you do something for God to lift up the grace and the honor of God, it's never a waste. Hallelujah. Anytime you lift up the glory of God, the glory of a man is upon the head. That is why the woman are being said that the hair of the woman is the glory of the woman. It covers the head. If I terminate your head, your whole body is gone away. So anybody who tried to lift up the glory of God, the Bible said, my glory will I share with no man. The glory of God, he shares with no man because that is his. It is his bona fide property. The Bible said when he was teaching us how to pray, he said, for thou is the kingdom, the power, and the war, and the glory. And I think I've already explained to you that in John chapter 14, verse 6, it said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It talk about the kingdom. And the Bible said that power in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit have come upon you. Which means the power is in the hands of all, the Holy Spirit. Which means the kingdom is in the hands of Jesus. But the glory is in the hands of God. Hallelujah. And this woman decided to glorify the glory of God. But the Bible said that when the disciples saw that, they had indignation. Indignation means anger and annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. Now, this woman decided to do something that was spiritual. This woman decided to do something that had been appointed before the foundation of the world, that Jesus will have to be prepared before his burial. And the Bible said that when this woman started taking the step to glorify God, just to obey what God is saying, the Bible said the whole folks around said, well, she's done something wrong. Praise the Lord. Was it unbelievers who had indignation on this woman? It was not unbelievers. It was the believers. It was the leader. It was the disciples. And precious, when there are so many folks who are not committed to church, but the church is fighting against them, which makes it difficult for them to even come in the first place. The Bible said that the disciples were having problem. Why were they having problem? They having problem about the fact that somebody is doing something right. And most of the time, there are some people who are not doing anything, but those who are doing, they criticize them as if they are doing something wrong. I thought you say amen there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now this woman, what she sacrificed is something precious. And if you have given a good seed or you've done something good before, you will be thinking that everybody should be happy about it. But I came here to announce to somebody, for the fact that you are doing something for God in the church doesn't mean everybody will be happy with you. And I thought we are in the church, so everything that I do for God should be pleasing to God, and the people of God should be happy. But the Bible says that the people there were not happy. If you go in front of the text and you read it from the down part, this woman, according to the scriptures, the Bible said, God, Jesus said, her name is going to be a memorial. She's going to be advertised. She's going to be lifted higher beyond her generation. And the Bible said that what she would do to receive this honor, the Bible said the people were not happy with it. The Bible said many people were not all happy. But the disciples... Precious one, don't think, if you want to walk without hearing the voice of God, you will lose much. Most of us here under the sound of my voice, we determine or we purpose ourselves in the sense that our happiness, we wanted to come from the church. Our happiness, we wanted to come from our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. But your happiness is not coming from any man, it should come from God. And any now and then, when you want to listen to the church, when you want to listen to the people around you, you will not be able to see the glory of God. Because God is doing things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man. For the fact that you have a Christian brother or sister doesn't mean their words supersede the words of God. The Bible said this woman made a decision and what? Wanted to sacrifice something. The Bible said in the verse number 9, it said, for this ointment might have been sold for much. The church, as who is talking about this? The church. The disciples who have been brought up, who have been trained, who have been educated. All the thing about buying and selling is business. Come on, say business. All that the church, setting folks around Jesus, the disciples, all they were thinking about is how to make profit. But if you want to walk with God, there are times you will make a loss, and it's not a loss when it is divinely sourced and financed. When your life is predicated on what profit you will make out of every step you take, you can't see the glory of God. Most of the time, what God is going to do out of your sacrifice are the things He's not even told you about. Jesus never knew, or if He knew, it was undertone, it was written with a small print. That as He died on the cross, He will be seated at the right hand of God. Those places don't come easily because it is not talked about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible said the word. They wanted to make profit. What are you gaining out of this? That is what the church has become. Anytime somebody does something for God, you want to find out what they've gained out of. In the midst of no gain, nobody wants to do anything for God. But in the kingdom we find ourselves, there are times you do things you don't see result instantly, but you have to press on. Say, press on. The Bible said in the verse number 10 that I want to dwell on so carefully here. The Bible said that when Jesus understood it, He said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? A lot of people in the church are being troubled not by unbelievers, but the church. Why? Because they don't understand why. The reason why you don't understand, the reason why you are troubling somebody is not because the person is wrong, but because you are wrong and you lack understanding. Most people in the church have stopped doing what the church must do. Why? Because they are being criticized by the church. I am here to announce to you, Jesus would have also accused the same woman and spoken of the same woman the same way the disciples spoke. But the difference between the two of them is understanding. Praise the Lord. There are so many ways in the house of God because there are so many illiterate in the house of God. People who have no understanding but they want to judge things. People who have no inclination about spiritual things but they want to judge spiritual things. I am here to announce to you that the echo is too much. I am here to announce to you that in the midst of spirituality, you can't combine it with physicality. What I mean here is that when you begin to take divine instruction, you can't contaminate it with the natural information. When God gives you a divine information, it will surprise you. Your next brother or sister will not even understand you. Why? Because God gave you the revelation. Praise the Lord. Come on, say revelation. We are in the midst of an environment where God is speaking to people. There are times God will speak to my wife, Mrs. Mary, and there are times I don't understand it, and sometimes if I don't take care, I will fight her. Why? Because there are times God will not speak at the same level with every man. For the fact that your friend understood what you were doing last time and it was spiritual, doesn't mean that he will always understand you. Nobody has got it all. Praise the Lord. There are times, that is why sometimes when people tell me things about their decisions they want to take, I tell them, let's fast and pray about it. There have been so many instances in this ministry where people wanted to take decisions, and I said to them, don't take the decision yet. I don't want to say anything about it. Now let me go and pray about it and come back to you. And the people there, they say to me, how dare you tell me when I should do things? Praise the Lord. If I fast and pray for you, I'm just doing you a favor. I wish one day I can tell you, if fasting, listen, there are times you must understand the spiritual place we find ourselves in. As pastors, we are not God, but we have been placed in the place of God. That is why the Bible said that everything we do is going to be judged. The flocks God has given to us, we're going to give account about it. So every step I take, anything I talk to somebody, I sit with somebody, I counsel somebody, every decision I take, I consult God. If I'm not clear about it, I go back and consult God for clarification. Praise the Lord. So you must understand that in the midst of no understanding, you might think what you are doing is a waste. The Bible said when Jesus told the disciples he was going to die, they all told him not to die. Precious one, if you bear your confidence on the people around you and not gain your source of understanding from God, you will lose it. Ask your neighbor, do you have understanding? The Bible said that she has done a good work. There are so many people in the church who are doing good work, but they are not praised by the church. There are so many people who are doing good works, but because of lack of understanding, people are accusing them, criticizing them. But today, you will not be criticized. I said, today, you will not be criticized. Aris Tutil said something. He said, those who know, do. Those that understand, teach. Those who know, they do what? They do. But those who understand what? Teach. I feel within my spirit that in the church we find ourselves, the body of Christ, we have so many parents, we have so many people who did not understand what was done. But they were doing it. And because they were just doing it, they are not able to do or to transpose it or to transmit it down to their descendant. Why? Because they don't have understanding. We have so many people around us. We were told going to church was good. Our parents were going to church and we just followed them. They didn't explain to us the importance or the essence of coming to church. Our parents took us to the prayer meetings, but they didn't tell us the importance and the essence of prayer meeting. Therefore, when we go a little and we see that it is not benefiting us, because the benefit is more spiritual than physical, then we become resentful towards the things of God. Why? Because we don't have understanding. In the place where there is no understanding, people give up on things they don't have to give up on. Why? Because they lack understanding. Say to your neighbor, gain understanding. The Bible said in the book of Joshua chapter 4, I'm finishing right now. Joshua chapter 4 verse 21 to 23. The Bible said he spoke unto the children of Israel saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, say, what mean these stones? When ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over. Our children are not asking why. They are not asking questions because they are too busy with other things. The Bible said, listen to me, precious one. The children of God, the children in particular, they learn faster by what they see. The Bible said that when Israel came out of captivity, they were told to pick 12 stones. Now you must understand that taking the journey was more difficult. But the Bible said that in spite of the difficulty that goes with the journey, God told them to pick 12 stones, which represent each tribe in Israel. And the Bible said that when these people were carrying the word and the gold and the diamond, the children were seeing them also carrying the stone passionately. And the Bible says that when they see the way you are carrying the stone so passionately, your children will wonder that this is not a gold, this is not a diamond, but why do you value and cherish it and carry it with passion? Then you will tell them that we have got this far, we have this gold and silver, not because we had it already, but because God delivered us, and the stone is a cardinal point of it. The Bible said that the reason why your children, when they see the way you treasure, when they see the way you value some things, when they see the way you treat some things, they will ask you, why do you pay attention to this when in the physical realm it shows no consequence, it shows no relevance, it shows no importance. And you have to explain to them, because if you don't explain to them, they will not understand. We are born into an environment where our children ask no questions. Therefore, they didn't receive explanations to things. You must begin to ask questions. Begin to tell your neighbor, ask questions. Say to your neighbor, ask questions. But woe unto you when your children ask you questions and you don't have answers. Because you yourself, you don't know what it takes to hold on God. The Bible said the children of Israel decided to hold on the stones. And they said, your children will ask you. Some of us, we think we've got here by our strength. And sometimes when our children, I remember many years ago when I saw, there was a woman, I saw this woman in marriage, and every now and then she gives money to the husband, and the husband doesn't pay back, and every time the husband always came back and paid part and leaves home and come back again for more. And there were times when the child saw what the mother was doing, he said, mother, why don't you just stop giving dad money because he doesn't pay back? The mom said, you don't understand, he's your father. He said, if I don't give him, where will he go to? He said, that man is your ward, is your father. Most of the time, what we do is not in what we do, but it's behind what we do. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, there is somebody here under the sound of my voice. Maybe you have decided to lift up the horns of God. Maybe you have decided to sacrifice for God, but the people around you are not appreciating you. It's about time you gain your confidence and your consolation from God and men. You didn't say amen. I want you to understand that most of us have come this far, not because we didn't have understanding. If you don't have understanding, you cannot walk with God. In understanding, you will value what you have. Ask your neighbor, what do you have? The Bible said the stones were so dear. And sometimes when you just look at it from the outward appearance, you might not understand the value of what is being done. The Bible said this woman had to sacrifice something for Jesus. I will preach in a minute. The Bible said in the verse number 12 to 14, it said, for in that she has poured this ointment onto my body, she did it for my burial. It said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel is preached, this woman will also ward. Her name will be mentioned. But the verse number 14 says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief ward priest. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, there are certain relationships. Until you have those relationships with God, you don't know your enemies. There are certain crises you will not face in your life until you understand the mystery of lifting the banner. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, this woman, her name was going to become a memorial. Wherever the gospel is preached, her name was not mentioned, her father's name was not mentioned, but God lifted her up out of the midst of the company of her family. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, we have to leave a legacy for our children. It doesn't matter what you have done, but until you leave a legacy for your children by causing them to understand the value of the thing they are doing. My late mom is dead already, but what carries her memory in my head is the things that she's taught me. The things that you have not been taught, you can forget about them. Later would you discover that we are in the midst of people who keep on doing things, but they don't understand why they do it. Come on, say to your neighbor again, understanding. My Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 29, it said, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty in spirit in exhorting, you fight so quickly, you are so much in the haste to fight. I tell people, it doesn't matter what you do, hardly before would you see me fighting, because when you look at the pain that it causes, the distraction that it causes, it is more than you can watch, you can recover, because sometimes in our life, it is not in the acts that we gain consolation, but it is more of the reason behind the act. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, it's about time you understand the step that you take, because many do not understand you. When you're in the midst of people who have no understanding, when you are taking critical decisions, I believe that young folks may be among us. There are times you will I remember many years ago when my mother was running a supermarket, and there were times I was around the age of 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, when I was even in university. There were times when I came back from school, when I came back from uni, my mother wouldn't need to sweep the store, any part of the store again, the supermarket again. I washed everything down, they cleaned all the stuff there. All the when I come from school, they will know I am back. Why? Because I will pick all the utensils and shine them and make them look so beautiful. I will dry them and put them around and dry them. When people get to know how neat things were around, they will get to know Benjamin is back. And I hear many people say, why then do you do this? And I saw some young girls passing around, and they were seeing me cleaning and washing stuff. And one day they came to the university. When they came to their first year, they saw me there. They said, what are you doing here? I told them, this is where I am. They said, we thought you work in the shop. I said, yes, I work in the shop. But it doesn't mean that is where I am. But sometimes when you value some of the things you do, we have children now who don't spend time with their parents. In the Old Testament, children spend time. Women, young girls spend time with their mothers. And young men spend time with their fathers. Why? Because the teachings of the fathers are different from the mothers. And we were talk things about why things were done the way they were used to do, the way they are being done. We have so many young ladies now who can eat good food, but they can't cook good food. We have so many men among us who, when they see a snake, they jump like just like the woman. When you sit with an elderly person, a man, they used to tell us that man don't cry. I remember when tears were coming down, they said, hey, come on, check yourself, man. Don't cry. When you stand with a man, they will tell you. In my country, they say when they shoot a gun, when a man is standing in the olden days, when a man shoot a gun and the wife is standing beside him, he would just stretch away and take the gun on the chest. But now, when the gun is coming, we see the men pushing the woman to the front. Why? Because they have not been taught a lesson. I dare you look at me like I'm crazy. Say to your neighbor, again, understanding. We have children nowadays, when they talk to the young children, they talk to them and say to them, why don't you come out with us? I tell young, my ministry is also to the young people. You want to go out? I don't have a problem with you going out. I don't have a problem giving my car key to my son. But the problem and my difficulty is not in giving the key, but the harm it will cause to him when he gets access to the key. Oh my God, what you need to understand, that we have something we call business. Doing business is good. How many of you know doing business is good? But as you want to do business, you have to speak to your brother. Okay, he will tell you that you need something called management. Come on, say management. Doing business is good. Some people have got a drive for business, but they don't have what it takes to manage it. I did a course 1 year in the university. It's called business management. You don't have the right and the strength to manage yourself. Parents, we don't have a problem telling our children to go out to the club, to the pub, but the thing that will happen to you there, you will not have the capacity to be able to endure, and you will destroy yourself before we get to know. That is why we try to constrain you and to guide you. Come on, say to your neighbor, listen to them anyway. The reason why they are being stopped, the reason why they are not being stopped, is that the people around them don't understand. Oh my God, a fool will behave in this way. I remember many years ago when a young lady was misbehaving. When the young lady was misbehaving, and there were measures put in place to correct this mistake. And later, have you ever seen some group of people that were standing beside a boy, a young boy, let me say this one rather, a young boy who is at age 19, 20, and the father is doing some things to this guy, say, trying to guide him, trying to direct him, and the foolish friends around this guy will say, why? Your father cannot do this to you. Your mother cannot do this to you. They are fools. Say to your neighbor, they are fools. You're not saying it because you don't believe it. Because they don't know your destiny. Because they don't know what you carry. They want to abuse it. Later the die found out that when I was spending more time in the kitchen, when most of my friends were spending more times on the field playing football, they never became professional footballers. They became useless in the kitchen. Why? Because they didn't make themselves useful in the kitchen. Later the die found out that the time I spent with my mom, my God, my Father, if you think you have the whole time, you don't have the whole time. Say to your neighbor, you don't have the whole time. The Bible said, he said, the poor you always have with you. The poor always you have with you is ambiguous here. I have to disambiguate it for you now. Now, the problem is that you always have the poor. No matter what you do, you have the poor. But you must remember, you will not always be there. And sometimes what you need to understand, if you don't value what you have now, it will be taken from you. When I was spending those time with my parents, little did I find out that I was going to have less of them. Had I not utilized the time I spent with them, at the moment I don't have them anymore. And sometimes when I see some folks abusing their parents, even now when I'm in a classroom teaching and I hear any student insulting, speaking against their parents, it puts some hatred in me. And I tell them, I don't want to hear such things. If you think what you are saying is right, keep it to yourself. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, the importance of what we do is not bet in the presence, but it is carried in the future. And before we have understanding, that is when we can understand it. It said, the poor you always have with you. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, if there is something you need to do for somebody, you need to do it with alacrity. Come on, say alacrity. It means speed. You have to do it without any reservation or hesitation. I am here to tell somebody something, that the disciples were thinking they will always have Jesus, but they didn't know that they will lose Jesus. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7, it's a wisdom is principal thing. Wisdom is a word, is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all your getting. Get understanding in the business. I did business. When you invest into the business, when you put money in the account, your interest is saturated or predicated or determined by your what? By your principal, the money you put in the account. Whether you will make more or less, it is more of what you put in the account. It is trying to tell you that everything you gain, as you move up and down, learn in school, study in school, even now the questions we are giving to students or the examiners are giving to students, it is no more becoming stereotype. If you don't have understanding, you will get zero. You may know what it is, but because you didn't understand the topic, it is no more going to be so. Why? You must gain understanding. It said, in all you're getting, when you say good morning dad, please understand why you say it. When you say hello neighbor, you must understand why you say it. I remember many times I left my key in my I came out of the house. Aaron rushed out first. Don't worry, it's Aaron, don't worry. Aaron rushed out first. When he rushed out, I also rushed out and followed him. Little did I remember that I've left the key in the kitchen. I looked through the window. I could see the key in the kitchen, but I couldn't pick it. Then I turned around. I came outside, and I just saw my door neighbor. And he said, "Don't worry. I have a ladder. We can use it." I saw one of my windows open. The man gave me a ladder, and I just went through. I never knew that getting up in the morning and seeing that man and say, "Good morning," is going to bet him giving me a ladder. Precious one, you don't know what it carries. That is why you think you have what it thinks. That is why when I see husbands and I see husbands and wife fighting, not fighting against somebody but fighting against themselves, you have no idea. There are certain seasons in the life of a wife and a husband that no man can come close to them, but they need each other. Come on, say they need each other. The Bible said that two shall be put together to make one. If you see some things are not working, it's about time you pray to make it work. The reason why I say hello, the reason why sometimes when I see people asking for £1 and I give them £2, it's not because I have much, because I understand the power of giving. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, look at what the Amplifier says. I'm finishing right now. It says, the beginning of wisdom is getting skills and godly wisdom. It is what? It is preeminent. And with all your acquiring, get understanding, actively seeking spiritual discernment, mature word, apprehension, logical word, interpretation. Precious one, hearing the sound of my voice, I am here to pull the curtains down. The entrance of the words give it light and understanding to the simple. In Isaiah chapter, in Psalm 119 verse 130, in John chapter 4, to end it all, John chapter 4 verse 22 to 23, the woman at the well, Jesus said, "Ye worship what you know not, but we worship what we know." Come on, ask your neighbor, do you know what you worship? I don't know who I came here for, but I'm here to tell you, when you sacrifice, the woman with the alabaster box decided to sacrifice. The disciples thought they could be there for him. They thought Jesus will always be there. But I want you to give your neighbor a high five and say, "Neighbor, you will not always see me. If you have some kindness to show me, come on, show me now. Come on, say, "Neighbor, if you have some pounds to give me now, because you see me no more." To end it all, I remember my late mom. I prepared some pounds for her, and I said, "I'm going to do some display in a shop." When I was preparing to go to Ghana, I've stayed here for 1 year, working day and night, staying in a single room. I've gathered all my money, going down to do my mother a show. I was going to fill her whole store for her. I was preparing to go 3 weeks to my traveling. I had a phone call that my mom said, "There are some things I wanted to do," and it was just few pounds. Come on, say few pounds. I decided to send that money to her. But after 3 weeks, I had another phone call that my mother was dead. I said, I was crying, I was in tears. And one thing that put me more in tears was that if I had not shown that kindness when she needed it, I think I would have regretted for the rest of my life. Precious one, you think you have me every time. I tell people who are close to me, I said, if you don't know, today might be the last preaching you are hearing from me. If there is any amen you have to say, it is about time you say it, because God has got a time for everyone. And if you have some kindness to show, come on, say to your neighbor, "Show me thy kindness." I don't know how far you have come, but if you are waiting, thinking that there will be an appointed time for you to show your love to Jesus, it is now. He said, now is the time. Now is the time to worship. He said, now is the time to worship. Precious one, you don't have any time, but now. There are people who die at the age of 6 years. There are people who die at the age of 10 years. There are people who die at the age of 25. If you think within your age, people don't die there. Go and check. It's about time you begin to do something for God, so that in the future God can remember you. Ask your neighbor, can God remember you yet? I don't know what you know, but it is about time you begin to give something precious to God. Something that men will criticize you. Something that men will talk about. I don't know who I came here for. Show some love to your husband. We are now born in a community. When the husband, when the wife has got money and give much to the husband, people begin to say, are you crazy? Who should I give it to? It's my husband. When husband do things for wife, you hear people asking them why. When wife do things for husband, you hear friends asking why. Who do you want me to do it for? If there is somebody to buy a car for, some people buy cars for their wife, and others stand somewhere and say the man is crazy. Maybe you are. Maybe you are. Praise the Lord. If I have any time to spend, I spend it on my children. I spend it on the members. I spend it on the things I have around me. Say to your neighbor, sacrifice something now. Precious one, the goodness you see in people was not bet in the time you saw it. It was bet in the time of understanding. Stand on your feet. I want you to lift up your hand. Put your hand on your chest. I want to pray a prayer with you. Then we go. You want to pray a prayer. And you want to pledge. You want to make a covenant with God. That God, I will bless you with that which is precious to me. David said, I will not give anything that doesn't cost me to God. Begin to pray for yourself and say, God, let me leave a legacy in my generation that a memorial will be found about me. Begin to pray. Begin to pray and say, God, give me strength. It is never a waste to do things for God. It is never a waste to be committed to your husband. It is never a waste to go to school. It is never a waste. Begin to pray somebody for yourself. I don't know who you are, but some people are speaking things into your ear. And they are making you feel like what you are doing is a waste. It's not a waste. There are times when men, when husbands forgive their wife, their friend begin to say, why do you do it? As if there was a problem. Begin to pray for yourself. I want to hear somebody pray. And you want to pray that any good thing I'm doing that I'm being discouraged by others making me feel like it's a waste, may you give me the strength to know it's not a waste. Come on, begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray. When you begin to labor, when you begin to sacrifice in a time of sacrifice, it is not a waste. It is not a waste. It is not a waste. It is not a waste of time. It is not a waste of resources. It is never a wish. Fata palababdoseke. We were told that going to school was a waste, but little did we find out that going to school was good. Come on, begin to pray for yourself and say, Lord, we were told that being the first was a waste. Why do you have to spend time and study when you can go out and chill? Come on, begin to pray for your children and say, God, may they never become wasted. May they gain understanding in their studies. May they gain understanding in why they follow me and listen to me. Let them have a memorial in their life. Come on, begin to pray for your children. Pray for yourself. My God, my Father, let us know why we do what we do. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray that let our commitment to you and to the things that you have bet around us never become wasted. Every step we take, every move we move, give us divine discernment. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. I want you to begin to pray. Let me have the communion here. It's about my life. There is no time than now. In the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Confess your sin before God. Let him cleanse you, sanctify you. Let him purify you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. The Bible said he took the wine. Whilst they were eating, he took the bread and broke it. And he gave thanks. The Bible said when he took the bread, he blessed it. He blessed the bread and broke it. As we are about to commune, as we are about to have this communion, as the bread is broken, as it is blessed, may you receive the blessings of God. The Bible says he took the wine and thanked God. I pray as this is coming around, may you experience thanksgiving in your life. May you experience the blessings of God in your life. In the name of Jesus, let the wine, the bread go around. Something is happening in the realms of the spirit. Begin to pray. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray. Say, God, I'm not just eating this bread, but may it be your strength. Let me do what I couldn't do before in the name of Jesus. Let me receive what I couldn't receive before. Let favor locate me. Let favor locate me in the name of Jesus. Father, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to pray. There is more to the relationship of God than just coming to church, than just doing what you do, than just reading the Bible. It is more. There is more to it. It's more of a relationship. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Lift up the bread. I pray over this bread. As the bread was blessed, today I bless you. Today I bless you in the name of Jesus. As you eat this, may you manifest the blessings of God. May God cleanse us from every unrighteousness. May he empower us with strength as we eat the bread in Jesus' name. Eat the bread. As the body was broken for us, as the body was scratched with stripes, and through the scratch we are healed. I pray that may God heal you. There is somebody here, you go through pain, severe pain during your menses. I see the Lord healing you right now. I see the Lord healing you right now. They have been clothed in places God has met in it. The Bible says he took the wine and thanked God. I pray today over this wine that strength will come upon you. You will not just be fleshly minded, but you will be spiritually minded. You will be spiritually inclined and spiritually awakened. You may have the wine. I want you to hold the hand of your neighbor. You want to pray for them, Father, strengthen them as we are entering into the, we've entered into the seventh month. May we gain what we couldn't gain before. May we experience what we couldn't experience before. May we have supernatural testimony. Begin to pray for somebody. Begin to pray for them. Say, God.